But first, joining us now on this roundtable.
Thank you.
Not you. Well, oh. I mean, you are joining us on this roundtable, but you're not the center of attention, so to speak.
We'll see what you did there.
We have a center with us, 13 years in the NBA, and he's been a great addition to the Mavericks. He's a double-double machine. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah.
How are you?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm great.
So you guys played another overtime game last night.
Another overtime. I think we're going to break the record this year.
You are.
It looks like it.
What is the record?
Three?
No. I think three in a row. You guys have played 50, it seems like.
Yeah, I think it's the 12 overtime games we've played so far.
Wow.
You
know.
Now, but numbers are good.
Rick wasn't, it seems Rick wasn't very happy either because you guys, he put you through the ringer today, a little bit longer at practice.
Yeah, normally we don't practice this late, and somehow, I don't know if he knew about our meeting and disappearance, but he put the practice at noon. We normally practice either 10 or 11, so that was a setup.
Wow.
And then he called me in his office and talking to me about his back in Indiana days, so. Coach, I gotta go.
All right, now we always think that teammates always get along, but we saw you and Chandler kind of getting into it last night. Everything okay with you two?
This is great, absolutely. You know, we represented this team, and we have one mission, you know, to fight for this team to get as many wins as possible. So, whatever happened, you know, it just you know, we're trying to help the team. Bottom line, and we talked after the game too, so we're great. He's a good guy, so, you know, it's I know his heart, you know, he's a great guy, you know, he's a great heart, and he doesn't mean the things, you know, look like it, but, you know, we're on the same page right now.
But if it had gotten to, like, a point of a fist fight, you would have killed him, right?
No fist fighting. You know,
you could just hold your hand out and he's just swinging because he can't reach you.
It was just a little bit rough conversation, that's all we had.
All right, so you were a you were tall when you were a kid. How tall are your parents, by the way?
My mom used to play basketball, so she's 6'1". And my dad was judo wrestler, and he's 6'6".
Wow.
And you, not as tall as me, but pretty tall.
Yeah, and you have siblings that are
– No, I'm only child, unfortunately.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Wow.
Way to go, Corbin.
Sorry to bring the room down again. So at what time in your life did you feel that – the NBA, or maybe basketball as a career? Were you a junior high kid, or how old were you?
Well, the basketball stuff, I started playing basketball when I was 9 years old, and my mom didn't want to take me to basketball practice because, you know, when she used to play, she used to get hurt a lot. So she thought that I was going to have the same kind of career, you know, with a lot of pain and stuff. So she'd rather me go to the library with the books and, you know, go to school and be a professor, I guess. But I always wanted to play basketball. I love the sport. And in Georgia, it's pretty popular. Even Atlanta Hawks came and played there. You know how the NBA sends the teams in Europe.
Yeah.
And I remember that. It was in 89. I was very little. I remember the game. Everybody was so excited. And it was a great celebration back then in Tbilisi, Georgia. So I always loved basketball. I always wanted to play, and finally, age of 9, I went to the first practice. And obviously, you know, I'll be lying if I say, you know, the NBA was realistic back then. But you know, it was such a long process. You know, it's working out and being lucky also to stay healthy. And when I was 14 years old, actually, education has been always priority for my family and for my parents, and apparently for me as well. So they took me to the best school in Georgia back then. There were probably two top schools, and I was in one of them. There was Turkish English school. And I remember when Turkish national team came to Georgia to play against the Georgian national team. It was like qualification for European championships. So they kind of honored our school because we had a lot of Turkish teachers and the principal and a lot of Turkish students at our school. And they came to visit, and suddenly we had only 150 kids, and it was very difficult to attend the school. We had to go through the special exam, and as soon as they walked in to the inside of the building, the bell rang, and I walked out from my class, and they thought I was a teacher because I was so much taller than the rest of the students, and I had a basketball T-shirt on me. And but I had no idea that they were coming to the school to visit. But I was going to go to the next day. I was going to the game to cheer for my country, obviously. And they asked the teachers about me, and you know, I ended up going to Turkey after that. You know, they talked to me a little bit. Next day, they asked me to bring their parents, and they saw my parents are tall, and they invited me in Turkey. So that's why I moved in Turkey. And that's when NBA kind of got more realistic for me, because it was a huge step in my life, huge step in my career, leaving my country, you know, leaving my family, friends, and that was serious, you know. So that's where I started thinking about NBA.
You were at 13 years old?
I was
6 foot 8?
Oh, no, not that.
No, not that tall?
Not that tall. When I was 14, I remember when I moved to Turkey, I was 6'6".
6'6", yeah. 14 years
yes.
old. Whoa.
Now, a lot of people, growing up, I was really, really short, and I always wanted to be taller. I always wondered if the reverse was true. So you're 6'6", and you're 14. Are you saying, man, this is great, or, man, I wish I was a little bit shorter?
No, you know, when you play basketball, obviously, taller you are, better it is, right? But not necessarily as well. You know, we have seen so many shorter guys like J.J. Barea, right? Doing these amazing things.
That's right. Takes up for us short guys. For you, go ahead.
Norm?
I was going to say, at the end of last year, you've been a good player in this league for a lot of years, a good player. What did it feel like to get traded here when you then ask, what did I get traded for? And it was a pick right at the end of the second round, virtually nothing.
Yeah, like Derek always jokes with me that the team traded me for a cooler, Gatorade cooler. But, you know, honestly, when my agent called me and told me about the trade, I even didn't hear and I didn't care who I traded for, honestly. Because, you know, last 2 years I've been playing for Milwaukee. I mean, I love Milwaukee. It's a good city, but probably not the greatest city. You know, it's so cold. And, you know, it was hard to leave because we had such a great chemistry, you know, so many great guys in the team. And last year we were a surprising team. You know, we made the playoffs. We almost kicked Chicago out of playoffs in the first round. And young, talented team, so we were hoping to build on it, but unfortunately they trade a couple guys, and most of them are veterans, actually. And it was really sad to leave that environment, because as a player, you want to be in the best situation as possible, right? And playing for the best coaches possible, and Jason Kidd, you guys are familiar with him. He played in Dallas for a couple of years, and I've been feeling so privileged to play for him, learn so many things. So leaving that organization, the team, was really sad. But then when I heard where I was going, they kind of made me feel better. Dallas, obviously, I've been playing for Eastern Conference most of my career, but watching on TV and, you know, finals and the championship in 2011. So I knew where I was going. So they made me really feel more comfortable. And, you know, here I am now.
Did you we talk about Dirk and Dirk's struggles. Yeah, we had to fix your mic.
Yeah.
Dirk struggles when he got here as a 19-year-old kid, and just the ways of the U.S., and he knew nothing. He didn't know where to go to eat or know how to... You know,
where do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah. He didn't know how to, the banking system screwed him up and everything. Were you the same way? Were you freaked out when you came over here initially?
Well, first of all, he still doesn't know those things. you know... I started playing professional basketball in Turkey when I was 16, and I've been lucky and privileged to have great teammates. And I had every year I had two or three American teammates. Some of them played in NBA, had an NBA experience. So, I mean, obviously, it's not given the necessarily age of 16. You're gonna play in NBA. You're gonna have 10 plus year career, but. You know, we could just all hope, and obviously with the growth and improving the progress, you might have a chance. And they were telling me a lot of stories, especially guys who played in the NBA and then went back to Europe. They were telling me a lot of stories, lifestyle, and what to expect. So I had some kind of experience. You know, I kind of knew what to expect when I first came here, but still, it's so many difficulties you're facing, and I think that's what makes you even stronger, and those difficulties were really necessary for me to come onto this situation that I am right now. Only person I knew was my agent, honestly, you know, not one single person, but, you know, it's very important where you start. I started with Orlando Magic, and great organization. They helped me a lot, you know.
Did you go to Disney World a whole lot?
Yeah, I had a VIP pass. And, age of 19, that was one of the highlights.
Riding on the teacups.
At 7 foot.
He's taller than Bugs Bunny's hand, so I guess he could ride it.
I was 7 foot, but I was way skinnier. I was 235 pounds when I first came in the league, and Coach Doc Rivers threw me in the game against Lakers, against Shaq, because all our big guys fouled out. So when I play against Shaq, and after the game, I'm sitting in the locker room, I say, I need to gain some weight. This is not going to work. So I'm 275 right now.
Well, you ate well.
I ate well, proteins, and a lot of weightlifting.
Is there a guy today that when you see, okay, he's next on the schedule, you're kind of like, oh, man, this is going to be a long night?
Not really, because, you know, once you get experience and face all kind of players, you know, the athletic players, the strong and fast, then you kind of get experience and you know how to guard them. You know how to guard them, and you just not necessarily do the same things over and over, but use your experience and your approach to them. However, you need to approach them to stop them, basically, you know. So I feel better. I feel more confident right now defensively.
Yeah, this has been, in a lot of ways, a career year for you. We mentioned all the double-doubles you put up. Why has it clicked so well for you here in Dallas? Is it the coach or who you're playing alongside? Or what's been the ingredient for you?
Well, first of all, coach is a huge part. I got to mention, first of all, coach, they're putting you in the best situation. They're giving you opportunity, right? And they're putting you in a comfort zone offensively and defensively. This is number one. Second thing is, if you look at my career, played for, starting with Orlando, then Milwaukee, 8 years in Atlanta and back to Milwaukee. Most of the, probably 80% of the time, I was with a young team. You know, a team who trying to, you know, learn this, how to play this game right way. And kind of they're looking at it as a future team. But, you know, here is a totally different situation where you come in a bunch of veterans. They know how to play the right way. And they're all about the winning. And they appreciate and understand that the importance of the little things, you know. So it's a perfect fit for me, and if you combine these two things together, then it's up to you. It's up to your skills and your talent, and you basically have to show what you got. And, you know, I feel really comfortable playing around this with my teammates and for my coaches. And here we are in the, you know, 4-6 seed, and we have a great chance to move up. 26 games left, and we have to take advantage of it, go to the field speed. And I'm sure most of the Mavs fans want to see us play against the Clippers in the playoffs. So
yeah.
It's going to be, hopefully,
we do.
It's going to be exciting.
Yes. We really, really would like that, Zaza. So let's make that happen. You talked about your education and your parents stressing that, and you're still involved in that, aren't you? Aren't you, like, taking classes at Harvard, or have you done that recently?
Yeah, every summer. You know, it's a long summer, obviously. After season is over, then, you know, you have time till October. But meanwhile, of course, you're working out, you know, you're working on your game, trying to improve. You definitely have time to go to the different programs and get education because, you know, one thing I learned from my vets, you know, and I'll be hearing from guys who played in the league either for 1 or 15 or 20 years. They all say the same thing. You never know where this career gonna end, but you have to prepare yourself for a future. And you know, for me, I see myself in a business. That's what I want to do after my basketball career. So, you know, some guys want to coach, some guys want to be in the TV broadcasting, and some guys doesn't want to do anything, right? But I see myself in business, so every time I'm taking advantage of it and going to the different programs, learning, you know, learning plus experience, meeting different people, professors, you know, and it's a great thing, you know, I really enjoy it.
Why don't you get Dirk to do that? That's one thing. You'll never catch him on the scoring list, but he's pretty uneducated, right? You got to bust his ass over that.
No, he's been through so many things. Just with the experience, he's already a smart guy.
You did work with Holger. Did he teach you the one-leg fadeaway? You're going to break that out in the game one time?
No, we kept it for summertime. I'm sure nobody wants to see my one-leg photo this year at least. You know? Last time Holger came in Dallas was a couple of weeks ago. We worked together for the high arc. Today my jumpers look great. Though,
Did you promise to let it go from 20 feet the first time you touched it after the game you worked with Holger?
No, that was a joke. I know my role, so I need to stay with my role.
So if you floated outside and took a couple of threes, what would Rick Carlisle say to you?
You know what? Rick wants me to shoot threes, but not necessarily this year. I need to work first. So we aim for it for next season.
Well, you know what? You've become a fan favorite this season. We love watching you play, and we're happy to have you out here at Ticket Stock. We know you got to sign some autographs next, so thanks for joining us on the roundtable.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to everybody for coming in.
Zaza
Pachulia. Thank you.